And we're joined in the studio today by Michelle Ehrenberg of Lyft Louisiana. Michelle, how are you doing this morning?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
And we're here with some good news about women's reproductive health, the future of women's reproductive rights. In the United States, there was a ruling made by the Supreme Court, 5-3 even. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the news?
Yeah, thank you. It's so rare that we get to have some good news about women's reproductive rights. So we are celebrating today that the Supreme Court this week affirmed that a woman has the constitutional right to obtain a safe and legal abortion no matter where she lives. And the ruling also sets a really strong legal standard to protect women's access to abortion, not just in Texas, but across the country.
Right. It seems like that we had a ruling like that back in the 70s, right? Like, what's been happening since then? What's been happening in Texas to you know, why does the fight need to be ongoing?
Well, the case was really about a law that was passed in Texas in 2013, Texas HB 2, which famously was filibustered by a politician there, Wendy Davis, in her pink tennis shoes, an 11-hour filibuster. And at the end of that filibuster, Texas still passed the law in a special session, an emergency session almost. And the law had two provisions that were challenged that the Supreme Court heard. The first provision required providers of abortion to have hospital privileges, admitting privileges at local hospitals, area hospitals, which are very difficult to obtain, mostly because hospitals don't grant privileges to doctors who aren't going to admit patients, and abortion is such a safe procedure that providers very rarely, if ever, would actually admit a patient into a hospital.
And the other is a procedural hoop.
Exactly. Exactly. And the other provision required abortion facilities to be outfitted as ambulatory surgical centers. So essentially, even clinics that were only providing medication abortion, only giving pills to women seeking an early trimester abortion, would still have to be outfitted in the same way as a heart surgeon's office, operating office would be outfitted. So these were costly regulations and requirements that many of the facilities would not be able to meet. It was pretty clear that these were designed to close down clinics, and the Supreme Court saw it that way.
Right, right. I mean, you have a right to health care, you have a right to abortion, but only if you jump through these 10 hoops and you sign your name while, you're juggling 10 plates. You know, it was a burdensome. Is there a language in the ruling that is particular? And how does this affect Louisiana? Because I know we have our own struggles. I mean, the Jindal administration was pretty litigious, but we've had a lot of struggles in Louisiana with this type of adding more bureaucratic process to prevent people from getting access to care.
Yeah, that's correct. And just for a little historical context, most people know about the 1973 decision Roe v. Wade, which gave women a constitutional right to end a pregnancy. What a lot of people don't know is that in 1992, the Supreme Court looked at this issue again. And what they found in 1992 was that the state does have an interest in regulating abortion, but that the state could not impose regulations that would place an undue burden on a woman's ability to access an abortion.
An undue burden.
The undue burden standard.
Right.
People may have been hearing that a lot or reading that a lot this week. And the problem at the time was that undue burden standard really wasn't well defined. And so what we have seen in Texas and Louisiana and states all across the country is, especially in the last 5 or 10 years,
right.
A lot of laws have been enacted really to push the limits of what that undue burden is. And the Supreme Court looked at it this week and actually put a little bit more meat on the bones of what that standard is, saying that there is still an interest in the state maybe in regulating abortion, but that those regulations, A, needed if they said they were medically necessary, they needed to prove they were medically necessary, and that the medical necessity needed to be balanced against the burden placed on women in accessing an abortion. So we have a better idea of what an undue burden is, and that standard now gives clear guidance to courts as they look at challenges to some of these other laws that have been passed across the country, not just laws that are similar to the Texas law in requiring admitting privileges and putting regulations on how the facilities are outfitted, but it also gives a clear standard for this balancing test when looking at a lot of these regulations. And you mentioned Louisiana. Louisiana in 2014 passed a law similar to the Texas law requiring the providers have hospital privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic. And that law was challenged. And earlier this year in February, a federal district court found the law to be unconstitutional. The law then went to the Fifth Circuit, which didn't review it on the merits of the law, but granted an emergency stay of the lower court's decision. And so for a period of about 2 weeks, the law went into effect. And the result was that Louisiana went from having four clinics the state, the northern and southern part of the state, to only having two clinics, each with only two providers that met these hospital admitting privileges requirements. So we've seen what the impact of that law going into effect is. And luckily, in short order, the Supreme Court blocked the law again and pending this decision in Texas. So that law is currently still being blocked, and the Attorney General will need to decide how to move forward with it. But the ruling that the Supreme Court handed down this week does not bode well for that law.
Right. I mean, this ruling by the Supreme Court, does it send a certain message to Louisiana legislators? Like, we keep writing these laws and putting these burdens on women. I mean, how much time are they going to continue to spend to make people jump through more hoops? I mean,
well, it's unclear. those opposed to abortion have made public statements this week that they are not going to give up the fight. I think that advocates for reproductive rights and for women's health care feel the same. We also are not going to give up the fight, and we will have to continue to be diligent in challenging these laws in the state legislature and when passed in the legislature in the courts. So there still is a lot of work to be done. And the Louisiana legislature this session passed even more restrictions, several new restrictions on abortion access. I think that the ruling this week, at least gives a message to the legislature that these laws can be challenged, they can be costly, they can go on forever, for many, many, many years. And I think that it's important for the legislature to really evaluate these laws based on the constitutional issues, because the state's budget crisis is something that we really need to consider when we're enacting laws that could really mire the state in costly litigation.
Right. And if people are out there listening and wondering about how these restrictions can continue to be passed even though the judicial rulings all seem to go one way, like the facts seem to be one way and the legislature is another, maybe the message is that we need to be keyed in a lot more to what our legislature is doing in the state of Louisiana.
That's right. I think that it's important for people to understand that the state legislature, your state senators and your state representatives, make a lot of really important decisions about your life. And I think a lot of people probably don't even know who their state senators and and representatives are. So, you know, if I was going to have the opportunity to implore people to some sort of action, it would be to know who your representatives are and your senate and your senators are in your state that are in Baton Rouge making these important decisions. Get in touch with them and let them know how you feel about these issues. And it's also important to know that the legislature this past session spent a lot of time working to pass these new restrictions on abortion, while at the same time they were considering things like raising the minimum wage, providing equal pay for women, looking at the you know, food assistance programs, the SNAP program. There were all kinds of other issues that really actually do improve health outcomes and economic outcomes for women and families in the state. Yet those were all struck down in favor of passing new restrictions on abortion.
Right. Well, yeah, we see that in other areas too within the state of Louisiana, that the legislature has some pretty they're dumb ideas sometimes. I follow the environment a lot, and when the levy lawsuit and the Parrish lawsuits moved forward, the legislature tried to pass a law making retroactively undoing those lawsuits without realizing that constitutionally that's not a law that they could pass. So they lost pretty handily on that. I think it's just I'm just adding to the point that in Louisiana we need to pay more attention, like you're saying. But there's also, you know, we are in a certain area of the United States that has a certain federal court system known as the Fifth Circuit. And there seem to be a lot of cases going before the Supreme Court of the United States coming from our region. I mean, what's up with that?
Well, that's a good question. And it's a complicated one, but I'll try to make some sense of it. When laws that are passed in states like Louisiana, Mississippi, and Texas are challenged on constitutional grounds, and they go through the federal court system. And so they're looked at by a federal district court in the state that they are in, and then they can be appealed, and the appeal goes to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals for Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. And what's interesting is that if you just look at this term, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals sent a lot of cases to the Supreme Court this term, a voting rights case, the Fisher case, the affirmative action case. So there is something interesting about what is happening in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I don't think that actually says as much about the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals as it does about the laws that are being passed in the state legislatures.
That's when you say Fifth Circuit, it's Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi.
That's right.
All of those states have had this problem of like the legislatures trying to close the clinics with just more putting more and more undue burdens on the clinics, as you say, and and there's a lot of vacancies on in as far as our national Congress critters haven't allowed the administration to place judges
in
seats.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the federal court system is very important because, justice denied or delayed is justice unserved, right? Mm-hmm. The federal judiciary, whether it's a district federal court or a court of appeals like the Fifth Circuit, there are vacancies on all of these courts, and the president is appointing people, and they're not getting through the process in the Senate of having those people confirmed to fill those vacancies. And there are vacancies on the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, so it's important for people to understand that the court system is not completely separated from influence by what our elected officials choose to do or not to do. And so I think that's, when people think about you know, going out to vote, you know, this is one of a number of issues that that I think it's important for people to be informed about is, you know, that process is being mired and we actually have a say in it by who we vote for president and who we vote for Senate, because those players, those elected officials make decisions about who fills our federal court system.
Right. So people should pay attention to the Senate and representative elections coming up this November 8th, because if we get people in those seats who are willing to just appoint justices to do the basic job of justicing and making good decisions in court, that we don't, the country doesn't have to spend its time undoing all of these decisions that seem to come from Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi.
That's how it should work.
That's how it should work. I mean, I think that, I mean, you, it's interesting because the United States can't even fill a Supreme Court justice position.
That's exactly right. Now. Yeah. I mean, none of these vacancies is more important right now than the vacancy on the Supreme Court with the passing of Justice Scalia. And, you know, this term, there were some tie decisions that came down, including the president's deferred action program for parents of you know, children born in the United States, but their parents are undocumented. So I, you know, it is really important for that seat to be filled, and it's being held up in the Senate. They will not have a hearing for the justice, and there's actually a pretty interesting campaign, if folks want to follow it on Twitter, hashtag do your job, where there's a lot of activism going on trying to really encourage members of the Senate judiciary and the leadership in the Senate to just, you know, at least give a hearing to the nominee.
Well, right. Yeah, I feel like, you know, the bad actors in Congress in that fight, the Supreme Court, probably cut their teeth in Louisiana and Texas. Like this, I know there's at least 14 vacancies to federal court positions in the state of Texas. So I don't know if that's a message for us here in Louisiana, but maybe it's a way for us here in Louisiana and New Orleans to talk to our friends around the country about the importance of what goes on down here.
Mm-hmm. Well,
to the,
you know,
rest
and
of the country.
Senator Bitter, although he won't be he'll be resigning at the end of the year, he actually, Senator David Bitter, our U.S. Senator here in Louisiana, sits on the Judiciary Committee in the Senate. So he does have a role to play, and he does have a Twitter account.
Just saying.
So you can tweet him.
Michelle Ehrenberg, Lift Louisiana, liftlouisiana.org. How do people stay in touch, stay tuned to know what's going on, to legal challenges that will now be forthcoming because of this Supreme Court ruling?
Well, I would encourage people to sign up for the email list at liftlouisiana.org. You can also follow us at Lifting LA and like us on Facebook. We're also part of the Louisiana Coalition for Reproductive Freedom. Louisiana Coalition for Reproductive Freedom also has a Facebook page that you can like, and we will be continuing to organize, to train advocates and to bring them through the state legislature, to connect them to their representatives and senators in the state so that their voices can be heard.
Michelle, liftlouisiana.org. Thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for that education, and thanks for the good news.
Thanks for having me.